Hello and welcome to the No BS Approach to Motherhood podcast, hosted by Catherine Hay and Shelley McKenzie. We are both mothers and clinical nutritionists who specialize in women's health. We are here to not only bring you the most up-to-date nutritional and health advice when it comes to fertility, pregnancy, postpartum, and children's nutrition, but our main goal is to break through the BS that can come with motherhood. No topic is off limits, so grab a cuppa or a glass of wine and join us for another raw and real conversation surrounding motherhood. Hello, everyone. We are back for another episode, and today we are talking second trimester
of pregnancy. And this is following on from last week's episode, which was our first trimester. And we just thought we'd start breaking down the hormone changes, what's going on throughout the second trimester, and we'll give you tips and tricks along the way.
Awesome. So starting off with second trimester is from week 13 to the end of week 26. And I guess the main things that are happening with the hormonal changes is that the placenta has not completely taken over hormone production from the corpus luteum yet. Progesterone is still increasing and continues to increase throughout the pregnancy. And progesterone, I guess the main thing that starts to occur for a lot in second trimester is it relaxes smooth muscles. So often women can start to feel a few niggles, a little bit of pelvic girdle pain or instability can start to creep in, particularly towards the end of the second trimester as well. Estrogen in high levels is needed to stimulate uterine growth and possibly breast development also. Let's hope so. HCS, which is, excuse my pronunciation, human chorionic somatotropin, something like that. Google it.
Somatotropin. Let's just call it HSC.
And essentially what this is the main protein produced by the placenta. So this is produced to start preparing the mother for lactation, increases growth by stimulating protein synthesis and ensures the flow of energy substrates to the fetus as well, obviously through that placenta. And your HCG, which most women will know about because that's something that's monitored throughout that first trimester to see where your HCG levels are and how they're progressing, that's starting to reduce. So I guess they're the main sort of hormonal changes occurring this trimester. Anything to add?
No, I mean, you've really spoken about the main things. And I think that ligament change is something that can be quite, especially in your case. Talk to us about your case and was it with Lenny and Audrey? Was it the pain that you were experiencing quite early on?
Yeah, all three. So Van, I actually didn't get it till third trimester, pelvic instability. I was seeing a chiropractor. I had to wear one of those belts that did help. I was seeing a physio and a chiropractor for it. It became quite bad and I was essentially like no movement towards the end of Van's pregnancy. Women are told it disappears after birth. Mine remained until 6 months pregnant. And I had about 4 weeks relief and then I fell pregnant with Lenny. And so because of the close pregnancies, Lenny's was very early on in my pregnancy and I essentially was like not bedridden because I had a toddler, but I did no movement in my last two pregnancies. So Lenny's, I just physically couldn't. The most movement I could do was just parent my children. If I did anything more, it just absolutely cooked me. And it was painful. It just felt like my pelvis was going to drop out at every moment. And it was not enjoyable. And then Audrey didn't come on till late in second, early third, but was not severe. But I was completely stationary through her pregnancy. Again, just doing what I needed to do for toddlers because I was worried that if I moved and that pain started, I wouldn't be able to parent the way I wanted to. So that was fun.
Yeah. So, and this is the thing, you just with pregnancy, all these different signs and symptoms, and I'll explain some other common ones in second trimester also, but this ligament changes because of that progesterone, because everything is relaxing and stretching and moving. It can be really beneficial working with a physio or someone who's trained in those areas. And we're actually going to get someone on to talk to us about that. So you've got that stability. In some cases, like your show, obviously that won't even touch the sides in terms of the pain and the changes that are occurring. But, you know, we're very much pro doing exercises and keeping that core nice and stable throughout pregnancy too, to help with these hormone changes during the trimesters as well.
Absolutely. And I did find physio worked well. I slacked off by the time it rolled around with Audrey, because with Lenny, obviously I was taking Van to appointments, and then with Audrey, taking two toddlers to appointments was not going to happen. I did actually find it really beneficial though. And doing massage, I was very proactive with. So massages, chiro, physio, amazing. And then wearing my belt, I wore this belt that my physio had fitted to me. And I wore that throughout the three pregnancies under my pants. And that just helped stabilize my pelvis and take off some of that pressure.
Yeah, the pressure. I remember it was sunny in second trimester. All I wanted to do was stretch my body, like stretch out to relieve any pressure. I had pressure in my hips a lot. It's a bit of a distant memory now, but I just remember seeking help with a physio to support me through that. And it was the best thing I ever did, because it relieves that pressure and that pain. Mm-hmm. Other signs and symptoms in the second trimester that we, you know, we need to look out for. Obviously every pregnancy is different, but congestion can be a big one because of the increased blood flow to the mucosal membrane barriers. So vagina, mucus, upper respiratory tract infections and mucus, swelling to the ankles and feet, again, because of the increase in blood volume. So that's where you might feel like you're getting those cankles. I had cankles in my third trimester very heavily. I remember I was trying to put on my Vans, my shoes, and I looked down and I was like, where's my ankles gone? Where have they gone?
Later.
Sensitive gums can also be really, really common during pregnancy, all trimesters. And again, that's because of the oral microbiome, but also increased blood flow. And we're more prone to that sensitivity of the gums, which can lead to bleeding. Majority of pregnant women that I speak to have some type of issue with sensitive gums. So again, something to look out for. Leg cramps. So second trimester, more so in third trimester, also cramping can be really common. And there are so many things that we can do with calcium and magnesium to support any muscle cramping, which we will get into. Dizziness is also another really common one, which occurs when our blood vessels widen and relax. And again, all those hormone changes put pressure basically on our circuitry system, and dizziness, feeling faint, lightheaded. You know, if you get up too quickly, you can start to see the stars in your eyes. All of those things are usually to do with blood flow. And that's where, you know, you want to be taking it easy, eating small meals, keeping your fluids up to reduce those signs and symptoms. And also if they are adamant and staying around, that's where we would look into your blood pathology again, just to make sure there were no nutrient deficiencies. Itchiness in the lower abdomen. I'm not sure if you experienced this, but I certainly did. So awful. And that's associated with that round ligament pain. So it's everything stretching your skin. You can develop those, that itchy sensation. And again, that can be exacerbated in third trimester once your belly really starts to expand. Varicose veins and hemorrhoids are really, really common as well. Varicose veins in the lower extremities, so ankles, calves, shins, even around the thighs, sometimes even in the vulva and the vagina, varicose veins can be present, again, because of that blood volume and pressure as well.
Yeah. A couple of things with the itchy skin, I always just get my clients as well to check their liver markers if they do have any itchy skin presenting, particularly if it's quite unbearable for them, because there is a liver condition that can occur in pregnancy. And the main symptom of that is itchiness. So yeah, checking liver markers, important for that one. The other one that we talked about in first trimester and you touched on is obviously motility of the GIT starts to slow. So our system slows down and constipation can occur. There's less hydrolic acid, and obviously the space in our stomach is reducing, as well as that uterus is growing. But head over to our first trimester if you didn't listen to that, because we gave heaps of tips on constipation.
Yeah, so we've really covered that in that episode, so definitely listen to that one.
Yeah. Because if you didn't experience it in first trimester, you may now. And if you don't now, you may in third trimester.
You will probably experience it at some point.
You will. So I guess from a nutritional point of view, knowing all of these things, there is a lot that we can do from a nutritional point of view to support and to dull down some of these symptoms. And I guess main goals during this trimester is, I always like to explain that second trimester is our revamp. So this is the trimester that we are reintroducing vegetables and fruits and proteins and all the foods that you may have had an aversion to in the first trimester, particularly if you were just in that need to survive, not thrive mode, if you experience morning sickness, for example. So yeah, this is the trimester that I really like to reintroduce all those good foods, really bulk up your nutrients again, check in on your blood markers, see what we need to do from a nutrient point of view, reintroduce supplements if you are unable to take those. And I guess one thing in the second trimester is, first trimester calorie needs don't really increase, but second trimester, I also make sure that women are actually eating enough food. And that goes for third trimester as well, because again, as your space becomes less and less, appetite can decrease. And so it is important though that we are still hitting nutrient requirements. Obviously, I don't want any woman tracking that, but it is important that you are continually eating to support the pregnancy. And that means by second trimester, your needs for your macronutrients, so proteins, fats, carbohydrates, and therefore calories, is increasing.
So in terms of protein, for instance, are we looking at a palm size? Are we looking at palm size plus a knuckle? What are we looking at to give our listeners a bit of a reference point?
Yeah. So first trimester palm size, second trimester palm size to the top, like to the knuckle. So yeah, palm size plus a knuckle. And then the thickness of, what's that part of my hand? Our listeners can't see.
Base of your thumb.
Thank you. So yeah, up to the knuckle, and then to the thickness of the base of the thumb, three main meals, I say, and that will be at least hitting your protein requirements there. If you're a plant-based eater, you probably are going to really struggle hitting those protein needs and may need to supplement with a protein powder that's suitable through pregnancy. It's something that I often do, even in my non-plant-based eaters, because outside of pregnancy alone, and we may have spoken about this in first trimester, I can't remember, but most women aren't hitting their protein needs. And knowing that it increases every trimester, we really need to be conscious of that protein. So for second trimester, it's jumped up an additional 6.1 grams per kilo. Sorry, not per kilo, 6.1 grams per day.
Yeah, so, yeah, which is huge. And like we spoke about in first trimester, the more you eat protein, the better off your blood sugar control is going to be and you feel satiated. And if that pregnancy nausea is still hanging around in second trimester, prioritizing protein is really going to help curb those adverse signs and symptoms. What protein powders, Shell, do you recommend for your pregnancy clients so we can give our listeners a bit of a, you know, a bit of a shopping list?
Yeah, look, it's different for honestly every client, but a common one that I'm happy to mention on here, just because it is probably going to be safe for most, is the Nutra Organics Thriving Protein. So yeah, that one is one that is kid-friendly, pregnancy-friendly. I like to bring that in if my mamas as well are also have a toddler or have a child at home, because it is kid-friendly. So whatever they're making for their child, they can add it into theirs and they can have a portion of it as well, which makes it a bit easier. But yeah, the protein's important. It's important because it also has that collagen in it, which is important for that expansion and supporting that expansion of the maternal tissue, but then also that rapid growth of the fetal organs as well.
Absolutely. I also love a hemp-based protein powder, but just pure hemp. So you can, it's like basically hemp flour, because that is an incredible plant-based form of a complete protein source too, which is really low gut irritant as well. So I love the Nutra. Obviously, I'm a huge Nutra Organics fan, but if you for some reason don't like the flavors, just a plain hemp-based protein powder can be really good too.
Yep, love that. All right, what else in second trimester?
Well, I guess we, you know, when we're looking at, you know, blood sugar regulation, one of the most important tests that happen in the second trimester, which we have spoken about in depth in one of our other episodes with Lily Nichols. So please go back and listen to that, because we're not going to rehash the gestational diabetes test again on here. But obviously that happens in the second trimester. Your glucose tolerance test is what is generally recommended. Whether you want to do that test or not is completely up to you. And we go into depth around all the different options with Lily Nichols in our previous episode, which I highly recommend you listen to, because you don't have to do the GTT if you don't want to, based on a few markers that we can do in first trimester in blood to get a better understanding of what your blood sugar levels are doing, which is your fasting insulin, your fasting blood glucose, and HbA1c, which basically looks at your 3 months worth of your blood sugar regulation. So I don't think you don't want to go into too much depth around the GTT today, do you? Because I think the episode with Lily is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, look, I think we covered most of it. So yeah, please go and listen to that episode. Yeah, I guess nutrients, like other nutrients that we're looking at, iron, particularly second half of pregnancy is when baby starts to store quite a lot of maternal iron. So iron's a really big focus in this trimester. Mm-hmm. So again, for my meat eaters, I'm wanting them to eat some red meat, ideally 2 to 3 times a day. That's a week. That will depend on their gut health and tolerance as well, but supplementing with a good iron supplement if you haven't already been in that first trimester. Calcium needs are starting to increase. So calcium is another really important one, just to support that fetal bone mineralization and size. So people will often think calcium and think dairy, but remember we get calcium from lots of sources like our chickpeas, oatmeal,
tahini, green leafy veg, you know, salmon with the bone, if you're eating any, you know, good quality fish. Like we actually get so much calcium from plant-based sources that we tend to forget if we're not eating dairy too.
Yeah, we do. And I do, because of the increase, definitely by second half of second trimester, I generally have got most of my mamas on a good quality calcium supplement as well, just because the requirements do increase quite rapidly for baby and therefore for mother. The other one, and I guess it's not uncommon for women to start experiencing some insomnia or sleep disturbances. And you mentioned earlier the restless leg. So that's where magnesium, I really like a good quality calcium and magnesium together. That can also be really amazing for gestational diabetes management and prevention as well, and can also help with things like the sleep, the restless legs, like, you know, energy, even from a magnesium point of view.
And also, I think, let's not forget anxiety. You know, I think a lot of those emotions come through in second trimester too. It's like you got over the hump of, you know, the first trimester, hormones are changing, anxiety can be more, you know, heightened, emotional changes. If you are experiencing pregnancy insomnia, that's obviously going to impact your moods and how your general, I guess, resilience is day to day with your pregnancy as well. So your magnesium, your calcium are all really beautiful for those, you know, mental health support, I guess, especially if you are running on zero. And look, pregnancy insomnia is real. And that's why I love magnesium, to help stimulate that circadian rhythm, melatonin production, and help you get into a little bit more of a rhythm with sleep. There's obviously more things that you can do around that. I'm not going to go into too much depth, because pregnancy insomnia usually kicks in more in the third trimester. But I think starting on those supplements now, like you mentioned, Shell, I think it's really good just for prevention and just keeping those levels at that repletion, not depletion.
Yeah, that's it. And we know, particularly coming into that second half of pregnancy / third trimester, when baby is doing some pretty heavy, you know, it's depleting mama, right? It's storing a lot.
Right. And it's a little leash. I say to all my clients, I say, as much as I love your baby and everything about it, but it's a little leech at the moment. It is taking everything from you. Whatever it can't get, it will take from your hair. It'll take from your liver. It'll take from your bones. It'll take from anywhere where there's nutrient storage happening if you're not getting it through your diet. Baby's always going to thrive majority of the time, but it's you, mama, that's not.
Yeah, and it is absolutely true. So it's important, and good quality supplements are going to be really important as well, obviously.
Availability. I just wanted to pick your brain, sleeping. So the do's and don'ts with sleeping in the second trimester, because obviously it's avoiding sleeping on your back. So when do we have to start side sleeping for everyone listening? Because I didn't know that was a thing when I was pregnant with Sunny, until obviously I was pregnant with Sunny. And I am a back sleeper. Like I'm the biggest back sleeper. I hate sleeping on my side. So I had to go and buy a pregnancy pillow to train myself to not sleep. I can't even remember what specific side it is. You'll know this, Shell. So I could make sure I was hugging a pillow with my legs over the pillow so I wasn't sleeping on my back, because I know that increases the risk of stillbirth because of that. It's the, what's the big nerve that's running the artery there, the vena cava, I think it's called, which is where if you sleep on your back during second trimester, it can cut off that circulation, and that circulation is directly going to placenta. Correct me if I'm wrong. But any tips and tricks around that? Because I really struggled with that, and that was a big thing that shifted for me in second trimester.
Yeah, no tips. I was so uncomfortable sleeping. I'm a belly sleeper. You cannot sleep on your belly. But yeah, I think it's generally recommended from 25 to 28 weeks is to start sleeping on your side. I think it's a myth though as to which side is more beneficial, the left or the right.
I believe that so as well. I think there was always like the right side, but then the research was really inconclusive around that. And it's really hard to tell anyone who is sleeping, any, you know, pregnant person for that matter, to sleep on your right side only. I mean, you are so incredibly uncomfortable. I just was switching the whole time. But I remember when I would wake up and I was on my back, I was actually really terrified, and it made sleeping a little bit stressful for me because of, you know, so I made sure I had one of those U-shaped pregnancy pillows. So I had that underneath my neck. So there was always that gap underneath my back if I did turn around, and I did end up on my back, which I would do because that was like always my default. So if you are listening and you're struggling with that, I recommend the U-shaped pregnancy pillows because you can hug each side, but it's also got the pillow behind the head. So you've got that, I guess, void. So you're not, that pressure isn't always on your back if you do roll onto your back.
Yeah, great. I used one of those as well. I just bought it off Amazon and I used it through all three pregnancies. It was really worn down by Audrey's pregnancy because I actually found that so comfortable. I would have kicked Macca out happily out of our bed and just laid there with my pregnancy pillow and cuddled that. He's a real cuddler, so he wasn't too happy with that. But yeah, the U-shape were great because I could push one under like my, so when you're laying fully on your side, I found that really uncomfortable. That pressure, I found that really uncomfortable. But I would squish one of the sides under my back, so I wasn't fully on my side, but I was propped up, so I wasn't on my back either. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So the U-shape were good, but yeah, no, pregnancy sleeping is uncomfortable. Things that I do to support is a really good magnesium spray, cream. I also use some herbs. So I use like passion flower is one that I use for sleep, but also for the stress as well around sleep. So yeah, look, I just use more relaxing tools, I guess. And the other thing is actually a lot of women are waking up multiple times to go to the toilet. So a little pinch of salt, or just making sure that you're keeping those hydration levels well, those electrolyte levels well balanced. And also I like to switch my women. And so I say, have water up until X amount. So if you know that you've consumed your 2-3 liters of water by say 4-5 p.m. then switch to a soda water or something along those lines just to quench your thirst. So you're not going to be sculling water up until bedtime, and that can just help relieve, or I guess help decrease how often you're going to the toilet overnight too.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love those tips because you really, if you want to avoid the pregnancy somnia, getting up, you know, multiple times a night to urinate is just adding to that stress as well. So yeah, I love that, those tips around that.
Other than that, look, I mean, we could talk about nutrients for days because there's so many, particularly coming into that third trimester when that bulk storing for baby is happening. But I think for second trimester, yeah, it just gives us an opportunity to recover from first trimester and those nutritional deficiencies that may have occurred just due to morning sickness or whatever was going on for you, extreme fatigue, all of that stuff. So just really utilize this trimester to bulk those nutrients up again, get on some really good supplements, and that is going to help prepare you for going into that third trimester when stores are being so depleted that all of these symptoms can come about again. So that's sort of where I go with the second trimester, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's all just about, you know, you're feeling good, you know, so much better than your first trimester, having a bit of fun in your second trimester. You're not massive, so you're not feeling, you know, like you can't get around and you're short of breath and all the things. So I think just in enjoying the second trimester, I always say to my mamas too, because got your energy back more so than your first trimester. You can get back into your exercise if that's something that you were doing and it brings you joy. And just working on those little, I think, you know, routines to support the pregnancy insomnia, to support your mental health is really important. Implement those strategies now, so when third trimester occurs and all of that, you know, growth and development happens again, you've kind of made that a little bit of a habit to take you into your third trimester. And I think that's really beneficial for your birthing, labor, prep, all of that, which we'll obviously go through in our third trimester episode. Are there any blood tests you get done in the second trimester just quickly?
Yes, obviously you're depending on what you're doing with that glucose tolerance test, but your gestational diabetes ones, which you've already mentioned, and checking in on iron early and late second trimester. So full iron studies, hemoglobin. Yeah, they're the main. Calcium, magnesium, I am looking at as well. Depending on symptoms of a woman, I might look at vitamin D, I might look at liver function as well. Yeah, just sort of dependent, I guess, on the woman. How about you?
Yeah, me too. All of those. I might check B12 again, just in case, and zinc, if there's anything else going on, or if they've, you know, contracted any viruses or anything like that that we need to look at. And I guess if there's any history of preeclampsia, you know, we're getting those, the urinary tests done, and the liver and all of those too. So yeah, all of those are what I test for as well.
And I will just say as well, I know that we're not going into the glucose tolerance test for the gestational diabetes stuff, but one thing I will say, and you and I have been having conversations around this, and I'm helping a couple of clients at the moment with this, is that if you are, or if you have been given a positive reading for gestational diabetes, because obviously that is a big focus in second trimester, please just know that there are ways to manage it without insulin, and you may not be given the opportunity, or you may not be given the chance to manage that without medication unless you are your own advocate. So yeah, I want to just stress that, because I do just have one client that springs to mind right now who isn't being treated all that well just because she's trying to advocate for herself, and she is trying to manage her gestational diabetes through the help of her obstetrician and myself, and she's doing such a wonderful job as well. But I just wanted to put that out there, because the education when you're going and seeing your an endocrinologist, if you've gotten to that point, yeah, you're not given a lot of options. So I just wanted to highlight that.
Yeah, no, I think it's really good that you're doing that, because you and I have been on the voice messages flat out this week, because we've had similar cases with our gestational diabetes clients, and we get them to self-monitor at home. Obviously the endocrinologists are doing that anyway, but we can really start to see what the fasting blood glucose levels are doing and implementing strategies that are achievable at home. However, this can change really quickly, and this is something that Shal and I have been talking about a lot with our own clinics and our clients, and we can have really stubborn gestational diabetes, and that's where we bring in our supplements, right? And that's where we bring in all these other tools, and we are getting them to track their macros in terms of their carbohydrate intake, so we can just kind of monitor that with them. But there is always a lot of pressure, you know, low GI, you know, you can't eat these, you can't eat that, where you actually can eat some of those really good complex carbohydrates. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because there can be a lot of fear instilled into you around having a positive gestational diabetes test, but there is always help and support.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess that wraps up second trimester.
Yeah, beautiful. And we will be bringing you third trimester and birth prep, labor prep, all of that in that episode next week.
Yep. And any, of course, our DMs are always opened. Any questions or what have you, you're welcome to slide there. Just know, though, that we obviously have limits as to what we're allowed to say, and we can't obviously give a whole lot more of advice than what we do in this podcast, but you're welcome to reach out if you need to via our DMs on the No BS.
Absolutely. All right.
Bye.
Talk soon. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. That way we can continue to inspire and reach more mamas around the globe. If you would like to get in contact, request a guest or topic, then head to the No BS Approach to Motherhood Instagram page and send us a direct message. Otherwise, until next episode, stay sane, mama.